Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Emarsys is the largest independent marketing platform company in the world. Their software enables truly personalized one-to-one interactions between marketers and customers across all channels. They help you build loyalty and enrich the customer journey while increasing your revenue. Go to emarsys.com/futurecommerce to request a demo and see for yourself how Emarsys can help your company scale marketing decisions. That's Emarsys, emarsys.com/futurecommerce.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
I'm Philip.
We've got another great show ahead for you here on episode 84.
Yes, we do. Love it. I couldn't possibly be more excited than I am right now.
Be more excited.
I feel like I open most episodes with that right now. I lost out on one of the hypest shoe drops of the year because of bots, because of stupid stinking robots who bought it all out and then sold the shoes for $700 on resale. So I'm super excited about our first story, Brian.
Yes, that's
true. Like the most exciting thing ever.
Wait, weren't you? You were so excited about this shoe drop. Like, I feel really bad for you.
What's going to, you know, what? Give it 3 weeks and there will be another hype shoe that I'll be upset about. So don't worry about it. Right. This one was really cool though, because
Boss will buy it anyway.
I love the color teal. It doesn't really matter. This show won't age well if I go into specifics. But California is once again protecting our republic by enabling the rest of the country to have to abide by its its own liberal agenda. What I love about this is that, you know, how we were talking about California setting precedent with GDPR. They just enacted a network neutrality law they were just sued by over the from the Trump administration. A lot of cool things happening out of California right now.
Not only are they being sued by Trump, they're also being being sued by the internet industry in general.
There's
the second. Well, people second don't want. Lawsuit. Yeah,
people don't
second
want
lawsuit
this.
Just came in.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So it's.
But the news this morning was great to see, which is that effective July 1st, 2019, any automated account would have to disclose. Would have to disclose itself as an automated account when interacting with customers, and it would ban automated accounts, aka bots, from pretending to be real people in order to incentivize a purchase or sale of goods or services in a commercial transaction or to influence a vote in an election.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing that I thought was really interesting was the tactics, like the lengths of which people are going to prevent bots right now. I actually talked about this at Connected Commerce. I gave the keynote a few weeks ago at the Connected Commerce conference in New York. And that in that talk, I talk a lot about how a fashion retailer, Kith, who has is known for doing a lot of they partner a lot with Nike and some others for selling streetwear and shoes. Very cool brand. But they tricked bots and trained bots into a purchase behavior. And then when they launched a new shoe a few weeks ago, they changed their platform the day of the launch so that the shoes were that they that the bots were trained on like the actual user path, they bought the wrong thing. And so what happened was they made a bunch of people really angry because people were buying a bunch of shoes that weren't worth anything, which I just think
is hilarious. But they were bots, the bot shoes for people. So
what it turns out though is that right, the bots are being employed by humans who are trying to get the actual product that they want because they can't purchase because they're human, because bots are the only ones who ever right. get the inventory. So you're still hurting your customer. No matter what you do, you're trying to help your customer. You're hurting your customer because your customer is having to use bots because bots are running the world. So anyway, thank you, California. I don't think this is actually going to change anything.
Probably but, not.
But it's nice to have a law.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's it yeah. is nice. I don't think that bots are going to go away as a result of the law. There might, I mean, maybe eventually, but like, it's going to take a while. And like all of the sketchy bot stuff, like influencing elections, like, you know, with Russian hackers, you know, using bots and all kinds of stuff like that, that stuff's going to happen anyway. Like the people that are going to use bots nefariously are not going to stop using them like in that way just because there's a law passed. But it will prevent like, in business, like more repeatable businesses from starting to go down that path that no one wants them to go down, which is right. good. And, you know, as like, you know, Google services like Duplex, you know, start to really take off, which is their like, you know, the chatbot, AI, like AI chatbot that's supposed to like
right.
actually be able to hold a conversation for you with a while, and then it'll switch to a human and it'll be seamless. You'll never know the difference. Now it'll probably have to start with something like you're talking to a chatbot, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I really think we know when we're talking to a chatbot today. There's a famous,
Turing test?
There's a famous quote. I know the Turing test, but I'm trying to remember who it was that said, it's like, I don't fear the bot that fails or that passes a Turing test. I fear the bot that fails it on purpose. And that's, I think that's the future that we all have to look forward to. Which is, wouldn't that be nice if bots were only ever employed, you know, for good. But as we've seen, with elections and all the rest, they can be employed for bad, I guess bad is what side guy you're on, I suppose. Anyway, we don't want to spend all our time on this particular subject, but thank you, California.
Yeah, no, it's great. And it does affect commerce a little bit. I wonder how like granular that will get. Like,
oh,
you know,
time.
Even like your
big
initial,
time.
Like, you know, when your chat pops open and it's like, how can I help you? Is it going to have to say, this is not a real person yet? Like,
It's like everything, right? Like Proposition 65 in California and the EU privacy cookie notices and now GDPR. It doesn't ever actually amount to anyone changing any behavior. It winds up being one more thing that's plastered that I have to click okay on a website.
Oh, I know, right? You have to just click an X. Like that's what right. GDPR is to us. Like
Proposition 65 didn't actually reduce any cancerous materials in anything in California. What it did was it made everybody put posted placards outside of everything. And now it's so pervasive and it's on every single food label. Man, just ignore it. Nobody really cares.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I wonder if that's actually like it kind of creates a worse situation because now you
it
can't
does.
Be like,
yeah.
oh, well, cigarettes are the same thing as eating, you know, meat. Like, wait, no. One thing is worse for you than the other.
Like, yeah, meat eating is the new standing, is the new sitting, is the new. As the new smoking, who like I don't know.
All it's, of them have warnings on them with no differentiation as to how bad they are for you.
We're conflating so many things here, but it's interesting. I love this. I love when we go on these tangents. Speaking of tangent, Walmart continuing its acquisition of apparel brands. So great article over on Forbes from Deborah Weinswig that Walmart has gone and acquired a plus size apparel brand Eloquy.
I love this.
It's really cool.
It's another.
I love it too.
Yeah, it's another acquisition by Walmart in a string of really smart acquisitions that have led to really smart leadership within Walmart making good decisions about their general e-commerce strategies per category. And I think, you know, this is, you know, I would imagine that this is probably a bit of an acqui-hire as it is an acquisition of another channel, because they've just been acquiring so much great, like, startup and like thoughtful digital native talent. I love it.
Yeah. So aside from the really great overview that Deborah wrote on Forbes, one thing that I really liked was the CoreSite Research graph of apparel retailers by average shopper profile, age, and household income. Shows how outsized Amazon really is among lower income, older audience. And I feel like it really the four or five big players here are Kohl's, Amazon, Target, Old Navy, and Walmart. And I'm really impressed that Walmart continues to make really smart decisions around, like, they're really well positioned against Target, who I felt like they couldn't compete with in fashion for the longest time. They had older brands. Their in-house brands were very, they weren't really on trend. They were always seen as low quality. They were always seen as, you know, sort of behind the times. And it's impressive how much they've breathed new life into Walmart as a brand. While these are tertiary properties, and I'm not sure how much they're influencing the actual in-store retail purchase, I can only imagine that, you know, Moose Jaw, Bonobos, ModCloth, and now Eloquy find their way into racks inside, you know, a Walmart near you as soon as, you know, sooner rather than later.
I doubt it.
Right?
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
But I do see Walmart introducing new upmarket experiences. Yeah. Like some of these brands do have brick and mortar already. I think we see them introduce additional brick and mortar. Maybe they get into doing some try on, like digital try on, or in-store try on stores, like the Nordstrom store in California, in LA. And maybe they combine some of these brands together so you can try on stuff from across their selection of brands. That would be really interesting.
Maybe not.
Maybe they keep them separate. I mean, I could see that too. Like, Bonobos has such a strong brand and so does ModCloth. Like,
sure.
Maybe they don't want to put those two together.
And see, like, you have huge fans of those brands and, to wit, which I don't know if it goes into in the Forbes article, Bonobos just announced an expansion of their product line to Big and Tall as well.
Right.
Which I don't know if we've covered yet on the show.
That was
truly Big and Tall sizes up to size 52 pant. So we're talking like actual investment into true plus size. And Eloquy certainly fits that bill as well. So it's very, very interesting. Also, by the way, listen, if you haven't read this article, we'll link it up in the show notes. You need to go check this out. CoreSite mentions that, revenue growth, or actual, sales comparison, of plus size clothing was up 23% between 2012 and 2016, according to the NPD group. And so, and by comparison, U.S. sales of all clothing was only up 9.9% in that same period. So you're talking about a 2.5x growth in plus size women's clothing. It seems like, you know, a perfect time to be in that position to be able to, you know, capitalize on a growing market segment.
Yeah. And what I love about this market segment as well is I think they're finally kind of giving it the attention it deserved. Before big and tall brands and, you know, plus size brands were, I mean, I think there was a little bit of shame involved and, you know, and not anymore. Like it's very clear, like people are different sizes and that's just the way they are. And like, everyone should be marketed to. I mean, that's the honest truth. Like every market should be marketed to well. And, I think, you know, that's where a lot of this growth is coming from. It's like, oh, wait a minute. There's tons of options and, you know, things that fit properly and look really good and are really fun. And so there's more places to spend. So it is a really good time and a place to be in this market. I think it's awesome. Great, great job, Walmart.
Very cool. Speaking of having infinite amount of choice, you and I got into a heated Twitter debate yesterday.
It's probably the most heated Twitter debate I've ever had, I want to say.
you need to argue on Twitter a little more.
I do.
Apparently. So we all found out yesterday that Brian, not a fan of Choose Your Own Adventure books from the 80s.
No, they're stupid. When I was a kid, I was like, this is dumb. This isn't even a real story. This is like... First of all, they weren't good stories. Second of all, there was no meaning to them. I was a pretty reflective child. Like I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah. So Brian, not a big fan. I, however, love them. I love the idea of having, it's like a video game. Like you have to sort of, take the road less traveled 7 or 8 times to find like find the path. Through the woods to find, you know, find the canonical ending, you had to make a bunch of mistakes.
I love video games.
Well, video games are exactly anyway. Okay. So it's the analog video game. Here's the story. Netflix, has agreed to create at least I think it's one episode of Black Mirror. They'll because they have the ability in a digital first delivery to allow you to have interactivity in one of their original programming that will allow you to choose the ending. And I sort of boldly stated that I felt like this is the future of content. And a lot of the conversation sort of steered toward what does Netflix's evolution look like into things like VR and potentially things like, you know, you being able to influence the narrative. Brian hates this idea.
Just play a video game. Context is everything. Like I believe in story as a thing. Like, and I don't think that choosing your own ending is good storytelling. It's a cheap storytelling. That's how I feel about it, at least. It's like you're watching The Sixth Sense and you get to the end and it's like, Bruce Willis is dead, or Bruce Willis is not dead, or Bruce Willis is not real, or the kid's dead, or, you know, like it's like, no, Bruce Willis is dead. Like,
boom, that happened. It's a thing we can all reference, right? Shared experience.
Yes.
That's what Brian prizes.
Not just shared experience, but actually making a point and having a stance and making it be art. Like, yeah. I love that
Sixth Sense is use that related to art, but okay.
Fine, I'll use a better one. All right. Nosedive from Black Mirror needs the end the way that it did to be good art. It was great art. It was an unbelievable episode. And if the end was like, you know, anything other than it's again, skip for a second if you haven't seen this. Spoiler alert, anything other than them like in jail cussing at each other, like I think I would hate the episode any other way. I don't know. Now that I've seen it that way, it's like, yeah, the point is so good. It's so well made at the end. It's so perfect. And so
right. And I mean, more spoiler alert, I think what you're saying is the arc of Heisenberg in Breaking Bad isn't what it is if you can influence it along the way. I agree with you to a point. I do think what I'm saying is that there is I love the idea that an art form cannot exist without the medium, like the until canvas and gesso.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like you have to be able to like oil paints are fundamentally different than acrylic paints, and you create different pieces of art with the two. And sculpture is not like painting. They are art, but they are different mediums and they express and evoke different, you know, they have different purposes. They do both pull, they have emotional components to them, and they are works of art and expression. They're cast in different mediums. And so my point is that I love the idea that there is a type of content that can only exist in this world in a platform like Netflix. It could not really be done in the way that Netflix could do it. We've had kitsch like this in DVD in the past, right? DVD was supposed to be interactive. Blu-ray was supposed to be interactive. No one's really used that medium in that way. However, Netflix is uniquely positioned, especially in the fact that they're not relying on third parties to create the content. They deliver both the, they have control over both the delivery mechanism, meaning the app, and they create the content. I think they're uniquely positioned to be able to do something creative with this. Whether it's going to be successful or not, I don't know. I do think it is innovation. I don't think you could say it's not innovation. I think it is. Whether it's successful, I don't think Netflix can influence other than to try to do it well. And the example I used is, you know, this will be Pong, and we have to get to Super Mario Brothers, and it's going to be a long time before we get there, right? It's going to be a decade of fits and starts before we have that moment.
Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-Commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, the results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll. Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Emarsys is the largest independent marketing platform company in the world. Powered by artificial intelligence, the Emarsys marketing platform enables truly personalized interactions between marketers and customers across all channels, building loyalty, enriching the customer journey, and increasing your revenue. Each day, Emarsys connects more than 2,200 brands with 3.2 billion customers all over the world. Emarsys delivers over 350 million personalized interactions across email, mobile, social, and web. To learn more about how Emarsys can help your company scale marketing decisions and actions, visit emarsys.com/futurecommerce and request your demo today. That's Emarsys, emarsys.com/futurecommerce.
Yeah, I just don't see it in this context. That's where I'm going with this. Like, I get what you're saying, and I think the context that we'll see this in is definitely more immersive video gaming, because the I definitely think that video gaming with different outcomes and like different choices along the way is super interesting, especially with more advanced AI. Like, you know, it would be very interesting for a narrative to be built as you make decisions in the game, and the AI is smart enough to, you know, have some sort of meaningful interaction and storytelling as you go. I just don't see that. I don't see the narrative of Netflix being the place to create that level of innovation. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it will come from that range, but it seems like video games are a lot further down the path of having your choices result in interesting narrative that's unique every time you play, or you know, has a lot of different outcomes.
I think that there are sort of that has been done really, really well in video gaming. Like, for instance, Oblivion or Morrowind, or what's the modern one? Skyrim, the Elder Scrolls series. Skyrim is now like 7 years old. But the point is that those games live for a decade because people want to re-experience them in different ways over and over and over, and affect different change and follow different paths. And there's sort of an infinite discovery there. Now, those are more open world with like opt into a canonical story if you want. And that is very video game like. I think the thing I'm thinking of is something like Mass Effect, where there is a canonical story, and whether you are a humanoid, you know, male, or a, you know, lizard alien female, you shepherd the hero of the story. It's not gender role based. It's not even humanoid based. Like, the outcome in the end will be a canonical story. You influence what it means to you with your decisions along the way. And I feel like if we can do that in video games, there must be a way to do that in content. Really, there's only a couple people in this world that can do that. We see Netflix, who is owning content and delivery, and HBO, who's kind of right behind them. And the only other one I can think of is Disney, who are, their new streaming service is imminent. So we see a few players.
I could see Amazon doing some.
Amazon. Well, that's true. Amazon. No, okay, fine. Yeah. Fine. Amazon too.
So four.
There's really only a few.
Yeah.
Right. And I think if one does it well, it'll be an arms race to try to, you know, capitalize on something new and exciting.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably right. There probably is some sort of a market for this somewhere, but I'm not that market. I can tell you that right now.
That's fine.
And I find it annoying.
I love that. This is engaging content. That's the other thing, right? Aside from Stranger Things, I can't think of the last thing that I didn't second screen. I second screen a lot. I passively consume a lot. I don't like that about myself, right? But I do. And something that's more immersive and visually captivating and requires my investment, of my attention, I'm all in for that. Anyway.
By the way, Netflix already did something really similar to this with Puss in Boots. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they did some like decision tree interactive video or movie. Yeah, with Puss in Boots. And I did it with my kids and it was really lame and they were bored.
Yeah. Okay, well, we just talked about a whole lot of stuff that's already been done. Awesome. That's how future we are.
No, it was breaking all over the place. I think Puss in Boots might have been the only place they did it. So it was like, must have been like a little pilot, but interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting stuff that is not interesting to me at all.
Well, here's the deal. Like, yeah, I guess doing it. Okay, yes. Now I'm reading about it. Okay. All right, we're gonna cut that whole part of the episode. Thanks, Brian, for waiting until the very end of the conversation to trump me. It's been done.
You know, I was my final card. Like, no one really liked the Puss in Boots experience. So, you know.
Oh, The Verge seems to be hype on it. Here's the deal.
The Verge seems to be hype on everything.
You do that in the right medium. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it makes sense in a children's storybook model. I guess that makes a lot of sense. It also makes sense in Black Mirror. You do that in Black Mirror, that in and of itself becomes part of the narrative.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think it's fine. Again, I think it's fine in certain contexts. And, like, certain episodes of Black Mirror, I could see this being kind of fun to look at all the different possible endings. But again, I just don't see it as a lasting content form. I see it as like a fun thing that you did one time on Black Mirror. and maybe some comedy shows allow for this. And like, you know, it's fun, kind of gimmicky, like in the middle of some, you know, rom-com, it's like, well, what would happen if she actually went with this guy? And, you know, it's, Or vice versa, whatever, you know, it's, I don't know. I see it as like being a little fun, little gimmick thing along the way.
Our 35-minute episode is stuck on our third bullet point, so I will unstick
us. I really didn't like Choose Your Own Adventure books. That's why I can talk about it so long.
I can tell that. We got it. We got it.
All right, let's move on. What else is going on?
How about you never own anything ever anymore?
Yes,
ever.
Good
it's not yours.
Yeah.
This world does not belong to you. There's nothing that's durable. There was a story that was out on Twitter, which it hit our social, but we never actually talked about it. There was a Anders Da Silva tweeted not so long ago. I want to say, what is this, like a couple weeks now, a few weeks ago, basically that iTunes support had... had basically removed three movies that he had purchased and was in the iTunes library. And they basically said, oh yeah. So, our content providers decided that these movies are no longer available in Canada. And so therefore they're no longer available in Canada iTunes, which means that even though you bought them, you're no longer allowed to have them. And to make up for your trouble, here's two movie rentals.
You know what's interesting about this?
What?
It's kind of going to apply to even like physical goods soon. Like we've already, so many things that we don't own. We share cars, we share homes, we share clothes, we share, you know, maybe not clothes as much yet, but like the secondhand market's getting so big and there's going to be a future where people are just trading in clothes and it's part of a service. I mean, yeah, right, Rent the Runway.
Sure.
You know, we don't own anything. You could actually live without owning just about most any, like everything. You could just live in the sharing economy and the rental economy and in the streaming economy and not own anything.
But I find this very troubling from a content perspective in that you can't access content that you paid for, that you probably paid a premium for, so that you could have it, right? So there's the license that you understood that you had, that you were entering into a financial negotiation for. It wasn't that you could just have it and watch it once or for a limited time as long as Apple maintained, you know, a content relationship with that company. No. That wasn't what you paid extra for, right? Was not to experience it once. It was to have it forever. That is your understanding.
Right.
And the fact that that can be, the fact that, you know, obviously Apple somewhere in their terms of service, let's all reference the Sentai Pad South Park episode. Somewhere in the Apple terms of service in the iTunes agreement, you've agreed to this and this is your own fault. But it's frustrating because we're going to see more of this, a lot more of this, like a lot more.
Yep.
Yeah. And more things are moving to digital, right? More things are moving to, you know, more than ever. One day your, homeowners association is going to be able to keep you from opening your garage and parking your car in your front door because you have August locks and a Chamberlain automatic garage door opener and you haven't paid your HOA dues. Like, that is the world that we're about to live in. It's all happening. It's all coming. This is what's, you know.
That's part of your homeowners association agreement.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. We've now taken it, like, you go to log into Netflix, all of the shows are Choose Your Own Adventure Puss in Boots.
Oh, good
and
heavens.
It says the Yeah, and
this is the bleakest future that I've ever heard you talk about.
Yeah, and the Puss in Boots will continue until morale improves. You must pay your HOA dues. you're no longer allowed to access your home. You're not allowed to access your Black Mirror episodes. You have to pay your HOA dues. Shocking. In fact, you know what? Your face isn't even yours anymore.
Yeah, your face isn't even your own. That's right.
Yeah, this is where we're heading.
Yeah, no, JetBlue just introduced some biometrics for passports. Now they're kind of building out their own kind of like clearer sort of experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like instead of this just being, I don't know what's like, I don't know what bothers me more about this story. The fact that it's sort of a throwaway line in how they're going to compete and grow and be a bigger, you know, grow up into a major U.S. carrier. Or if it's that to compete with Delta, they're investing in biometrics so that they can just scan people's faces for passport control. I don't know. Like, that's competition breeds some interesting innovation. I don't know if it's creepier that JetBlue does this or if, like, our U.S. government's been doing this forever. This is, by the way, this is also tied to a story about the FBI using face unlock on an Apple to gain access to a device without explicit permission from a suspect recently. So it's your face doesn't even belong to you anymore. You're right. Like, JetBlue's going to use it to allow you to board a plane.
Well, it's just like the, warnings on, warnings on food, right? You're going to just sign away your face all the time, right?
Like, yeah. Eventually,
just going to do it because in order to go board your plane, you're going to have to sign away your face.
I mean, you walked into the building and there was a sign outside that said, by walking into this building, you're giving us your face forever. I mean, it said it right there.
Right. You know? Posted on the door in small letters.
And here's a video of you looking at that sign. So we know that you agreed to it.
we tracked your eyes. It's clear that you read it. And so therefore you've agreed it since you walked in.
I love that, you know, it used to be that we were worried about Big Brother, you know, from like as a government entity. It's amazing how much of this actually comes from private industry.
Right.
And it actually leads us into our next story, which is Petal, which is a fintech a startup. They've raised $34 million, and they're basically launching a credit card for people that don't have credit. And what I really loved about this story was that they're using big data and machine learning to basically, you know, you log in with like Chase, you know, with your Chase account, and it'll data mine your bank activity to create a financial profile of you in a way that is probably way more accurate than and goes deeper and you know, learns more about you than your credit rating ever will. And so it's like the privatization of credit rating, which is interpreting actual activity and then using something called cash flow underwriting to understand how you spend money, how you use money, and that's how they'll qualify you, which I think is really innovative.
It is super innovative. Like, it's really interesting and cool, and it gets around the credit bureaus, which are, you know, can be like, challenging to work with. And so I don't know. I like, part of me likes this and part of me hates this.
if anything, put all the technology aside, at least they're doing something innovative with the design of this card. It's really pretty. It's a very different looking credit card and it defies the norms. Early investors, Peter Thiel's Valor Ventures, and now SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, is in.
Supposedly, they have more than 100,000 people already on the waiting list, which is crazy. And
it was a really interesting sort of soft launch. I kind of love this. I also like the idea that, you know, things like they're simplifying it into, well, it's not about interest rate. It's not about we can be flexible with you. We're going to allow you to decide how much you want to repay and how much interest you'll sort of accrue. And we'll do that in a really sort of beautiful user interface. And we'll take the focus off of fees and the focus off of, I have to repay this, and more into the, like, how do I make this work into your life, since I can already see into your bank and I know how much money you have. And I know that you bought all those movies on iTunes that you're not going to be able to watch anymore. So maybe you should be paying a little extra this month. It's crazy.
Just imagine Amazon releasing something like this.
Oh yeah, no, that's, don't worry. I mean, Amazon's now in the mattress business. It's a matter of time before they're also, you know, they also have a credit card that, you know, it's like they're competing with everybody everywhere all the time. That's their new strategy.
No, it's true. No, I mean, I'm just thinking Amazon will know what most of your purchasing looks like simply by history. And they'll, like, imagine if they're asking you for salary history or something along those lines, like how easy would it be for them to, you know, help, you know, quote unquote, help you make wise decisions about your purchases. And I mean, the fact is, maybe they actually could, but, you know, it's just an easier and deeper way to wrangle someone into the ecosystem without any, you know, like without any reason to ever leave it, really.
I mean, this actually brings, you just broke my brain. Hold on. There is an incredible thing hiding in what you just said, which is there is probably an opportunity here for somebody where if you don't have the discipline to manage your finances and you need extra accountability, a service like this that might make financial decisions for you and manage it, just, you know, like you can say, just like I could tell, TD Ameritrade, I want to be a really aggressive investor and put me in a bunch of risky positions. I could totally do that and they'll do that for me. If I tell Petal, or let's say Chase, I want you to be really conservative with the way I manage my finances, the next time I go on the Nike app to go buy the hype sneaker drop, their machine learning is going to say, you have 40 pairs of shoes that you bought in the last year. You don't need another pair of shoes. Yep. We're going to decline this transaction. It's for your own good. Right? And that's that, to be honest with you, that might be really helpful and assistive. Like, you need to budget because, you know, 6 weeks from now, you know, every 6 weeks or so, you wind up having to buy some extra cold medicine because you've been eating like garbage. You keep going to McDonald's. Like, there's so much insight that could be gleaned from your purchase histories that, you know, a financial institution could help you live a better life. Oh God, this is not like me to say these sorts of things. I got to stop. Never mind. I take it back.
No, but that's exactly where I'm seeing the settings. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Unreal. I'm talking about. In fact, this is me. Like, I've been thinking about this for years, actually, but why wouldn't Amazon or Walmart or, you know, some big conglomerate who has the ability to essentially service your entire life, say, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, what kind of money do you want to spend? What kind of money do you want to save? We will furnish, clothe, feed your entire family based off of your income level. And like, essentially it would be life subscriptions, where where like you don't have to worry about it. You know you're going to have these things come in at this time, like all of your basic food, all of your like interesting food kits and meals, clothing that's refreshed on a basis that you can afford. And it's interesting clothes, and you have some level of choice in determining what kinds of things come in, and it's going to refresh every season. They're going to make sure that you're dressing warm in the winter and you know, cool in the summer. And like this, everything, you don't have to think about any of it. You just buy into the service, and you can adjust the level at which you live in a smart way, thoughtful way with your, you know, as you make more money or make less money or whatever it is, you know,
it's sort of the dream of what Sears wanted to do in the 20s, 30s and 40s with the kit homes.
Yes.
Like we're going to make a bunch of smart decisions for you when it comes to building a house and all the stuff that goes in it. Amazon's probably literally already doing this, for the neighborhoods around HQ too. Wherever that might be, but you're right. Like there's probably, that is probably a future that, you know, you might want to do that. You might like, I might want
to
do that.
Yeah. No, think about it. You don't have to think about anything. You don't have to worry about your finances at all. Like it's all just going to work. You don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
Of course, until it doesn't. And of course, until you want to, until something breaks prematurely or, you know, of course, there's probably a way to solve for that. But like until things start to get dicey or you start to make bad decisions outside of your plan.
I mean, this is the beginning of a Black Mirror episode because in the thing that I just referenced, one day I get home, I can't get in my front door and I can't open my garage. And I'm like, Why can't I get into my house? I use my phone. I call the bank and I'm like, I can't get into my house. And they're like, well, you don't own your home anymore. What are you talking about? Well, you see, the city no longer has an agreement with our land ownership partnership. And so you technically don't have a home anymore, but we've given you 2 months free rental down the street. And that's the future that we're all barreling towards.
You just went a little step further than I was hoping to go, but yeah, I mean, the future that I'm talking about, I actually think that a service like this will pop up at some point soon and yeah. Maybe it already exists.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I come up with these ideas and then I go look for them and they already exist.
Yeah. That's why VentureBeat exists, right?
Before I go talk about them on the podcast.
I love that. I think that's a great place to stop.
Oh,
what do
my
you,
gosh,
about
we have
you?
So much more to talk about, though.
There's so much more to talk about.
But we should be done.
Okay, well, we'll cover it on episode 85.
Coming
up. Question mark.
Man, we've got some great 85. Interviews coming up in the next month or
Holy
two,
cow.
Too. So just stay tuned because lots more good content. Like, we didn't even touch all the things we need to talk about.
We didn't even cover it. We didn't even tell you the half of it.
YOA, way too long. Choose your own adventure, not the other thing.
love it. Well, thanks for listening to Future Commerce. If you're as frustrated as we are right now, take that fire and that passion. Tell us what you think about the show. We'd love to hear it. Go over to futurecommerce.fm and leave your feedback on today's episode. And also, scoot on over to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher Premium, or Spotify, or anywhere else that you consume podcasts and leave us a rating. Leave us a 5-star. Give us some feedback. We want to hear from you. Anyway, thank you for listening. Until next time.
Retail tech's moving fast.
And future commerce is moving faster.
Thanks, everyone.